Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Rich givers are vital in getting major kingdom projects paid for. Still, it was a giver with limited resources that caught the eye of Jesus in the temple courts. A poor widow's selfless choice to give is now well known by millions who've learned from her example. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Mark chapter 12. Erwin Lutzer comes again to interpret the story of the widow's mite, when giving less is more.
And I think for this widow, giving two mites was outrageous, but never underestimate what love might do. So that's what Jesus saw. Well, there's a third picture I want us to take of Jesus, where he sat, what he saw, and also now what he said. Look at the text. And he called his disciples, verse 43, to him and said to them. Now, this is very interesting, because what Jesus is saying is, what I saw is so important, I want to share with my disciples, because there's a lesson here. And you know how I interpret that? I interpret it that Jesus is saying that there's a lesson here also for us and for the church. For as long as the church endures, there is a lesson to be learned from this nameless widow. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Wow, she gave more. It's interesting to contemplate. How did she give more? By the way, parenthesis, if her two mites were given compound interest, you know that compound interest is amazing. Once you get to the higher sums, it just is. It's just something mathematically that you have to understand, but it explodes. Someone figured it out, and I don't know that it's true, but over 2,000 years, those two mites with compound interest might be worth something like 24 with 19 zeros at the end. So who knows how much she gave as far as the heavenly calculator was concerned. Somebody else has said, well, you know how she gave more is that her story has inspired giving in the Christian church for 2,000 years, and you think of all of the money that has been given because of her. And I need to comment on that. This woman doing that had no idea that she was going to be part of the Bible. She had no idea that for thousands of years, preachers were going to be referring to her and using her as an example. She had no idea that that was going to happen. Let me give you a word of encouragement. God never lets us see all the good we do. Never. We get little glimmers of it. But the impact of the person's life going from now throughout all of eternity, and that is to say their impact going even as far as eternity, we never know what impact we have. Some of you grandparents, you will not understand the impact that you had on your grandchildren until you get to heaven. This dear lady, unnamed, unsung, she didn't know that she was going to be held up as an exhibit of generosity for generations. God bless her. But I think what Jesus probably just simply meant is her gift meant more because she gave from the heart and she gave sacrificially. It's probably what Jesus had in mind. That when we give from the heart extravagantly because we love, that means more to God than if we simply give because we're expected to or give out of our abundance, as all of us do, including myself. Because most of us, and I include myself in this, have never given sacrificially in the sense of we had to go without because we gave. Most of us fit into that category. But if we give sacrificially, where it actually impacts our lifestyle and impacts what we have or what we don't have, now we're talking about a radical commitment of love and generosity. I think that there are two lessons that this dear widow has to teach us. First of all, giving reveals the heart, obviously. Giving reveals the heart. This is found all throughout the scripture. That's why the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. My friend, if before you put a nickel into the offering plate, you squeeze it so much that it turns red, keep it. All right. If we are not a generous people because God loved us, we shouldn't give grudgingly. The Bible talks about those who give grudgingly or of necessity. Have you ever noticed here at the Moody Church, we do not make it a requirement to tithe? We don't say to the new members coming in, now if you want to be a member of Moody Church, you must tithe. No, we hold up the tithe as an example, as a benchmark, as a good rule to follow, at least to begin, but we don't make it mandatory. I don't want people to say, well, see, you know what they are? They're forcing us to give because they need the money. As I mentioned last time, bad idea, bad motivation. No, we should be asking, how much can I contribute? Because I love. Ultimately, it is a matter of love. Now, having said that, it is very interesting. You know, I began this message by saying that money always competes with God for our affections. I'm really serious. It does. Because the more money you have, or the more money you make, the more difficult it is for some people to give it away. The poor sometimes are the most generous because they know what it's like for other people to do without, so they are generous with those who are going through tough times. They give out money to the poor because they've been poor and they know they've been there and how bad it is. And poverty is bad, no doubt about it, very bad. I think, though, that what is one of the most interesting things is that all the statistics that I've seen, and there have been all kinds of studies on this, they show that the less you make, the higher percentage you give. Now, that doesn't mean that the poor give more than the rich, because if you give 10% of $20,000 a year or $30,000 a year, it's not as much as 5% on $100,000 a year or $200,000 a year. So the rich may give more in terms of the actual cash, but the percentage goes down. I don't know why that is, but our hearts are really interesting. There is a story of Dr. Criswell, who was for many years the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I remember when I was there as a seminary student, I remember hearing Dr. Criswell preach. He, since that time, has gone on to heaven. But there's a story about that he told about a young man who came to him, a young businessman, and said, Dr. Criswell, you know, when I began my business and was just making such a little bit of money every year, he said, I gladly gave 10% to the Lord. But he said, as my business has grown and has now become, you know, a multi-million dollar business and I'm making so much money, he said, I just can't tithe anymore. I can't give that much money to the Lord. Dr. Criswell said, let me pray for you. So he put his hand on his shoulder and said, oh, God, I pray that you might reduce this young man's income. I pray, Father, that his business will shrink. Oh, God, bring it down to a size that is right, whereby he can be faithful with what you've given him. Truly amazing. The more some people make percentage-wise, the less they give. Why? Money competes with God for our affections. And that's why the Bible says, when riches increase, do not set your heart on them. And that's why it has often been said, you should proportion your giving according to your income, lest God brings your income in accordance with your giving. But the bottom line is, it's always been a matter of heart. Always. It isn't so that we can pay the lights and pay the salaries. It's always a matter of heart. That's what this dear woman teaches us. I think there's another lesson, though, inherent in here, because I have to look at the text again. I can't just leave it the way it is. I have to ask myself the question, now, this dear lady, God bless her, did she go home and starve? I don't know, but I don't think so. I think God took care of her. I think that when she stood there and she gave her two mites, and she didn't know that Jesus was watching. This was not a show. She was not a zinger. She wasn't blowing her trumpet. I think it was given out of love, but also faith. Faith to believe that God would meet her need. It's the kind of faith that you and I need in a time of economic uncertainty. Is the kind of faith that you and I need when it seems as if the whatever has been nailed down is being torn up and we don't know where the economic decline is going to end. At a time like this, we need faith. And we need to believe. You know, when you look at our bulletin, you can tell that as a church, we're in great financial need. And we haven't cut back a lot of things yet, although we have some things in place where we are not spending money, even though we could use it and need it. But we don't know what the future holds. People say, Pastor Lutzer, are you nervous? Are you afraid? No, not really, because I believe God is going to bring us through it. But we never know what sacrifices we'll make in the way. We never know where we're going to have to cut. And as leaders, we always have the responsibility to make those kinds of decisions. But what we need is faith. Now, in order to illustrate, let me tell you that this past week, I spent 2.5 days in the state of California. Could I say parenthetically, it was just so gratifying, maybe that's not the word, to turn on CNN. And see that it was 17 degrees below in Chicago. And then walk out of the hotel dressed just as I am now, able to take off my suit coat later in the afternoon and enjoy the warm sunshine. And I thought, I hope the people of Chicago never know that there is a place like California where you can do that. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I don't know what the weather is doing where you are today, but isn't it wonderful that no matter what kind of weather we are going through, we continue to trust God, whether in Chicago or California. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how this message can be yours, because my desire is that all of us use our money well.
Erwin Lutzer, talking about when giving less is more. His second message on investing for eternity. Compound interest can really pay off. Next time, a look at 2 mites and 2,000 years. All 4 messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.